Live from the Vanilla Bean Cafe in Pomfret, this is Where We Live. I'm John Dankowski. It might not sound like it, but we're in the quiet corner today. Have you visited the quiet corner lately? In nighttime satellite imagery, it actually shows up as a swath of darkness in a field of twinkling lights. This rural area is larger than you might think. It's about half the size of Arizona's Grand Canyon, about 10 times the size of Acadia National Park in Maine. It's almost 80% forest and farmland. Now, this place where we are, the Vanilla Bean Cafe, is right at a crossroads. It's in the town of Pomfret. It's an old, repurposed 1800s barn. The property survived a couple fires and lives on as a popular community gathering space. Years ago, I came out here for a really wonderful concert, and I came back a few times. I haven't been back in years, and I'm so glad to see it's still here and thriving. Now, a lot of people who live and work in the quiet corner have come from other places outside of Connecticut to be here, but there are many others who've grown up here, started families and businesses here. So what is making the economy work for them? What are the challenges getting in their way? Today, Where We Live, it's the latest in our series of Small Business After Hours events where we get to talk about the small business environment of our state. We're here in the northeast corner, only a few minutes from the Rhode Island border. It has great restaurants and village centers, other retail like antiques. It's kept the economy alive for years. There's a manufacturing industry with many key businesses providing a lot more services than you might guess if you just passed through the area quickly. We'll be talking with small business owners and small business boosters about what's driving the economy here, and we'll even have some live music in a bit from pianist Donna Bichette. She's lived in the area for 14 years, and she's director of the performing arts at the Rectory School, and she performs with groups called 916 and Voices. But first, let me introduce our panel. Michelle Bourgeois is director of sustainability for The Last Green Valley. Welcome to the show. Thanks so much for being here.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Jerry Cohen is the owner of the Antiques Marketplace in Putnam, right next door. Jerry, thanks so much for coming.
Oh, thank you.
And Mary Jane Burke is owner of BGR Radiator in Plainfield. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks, John.
Michelle, I want to start from you with you because we talked about this great green area, the last green valley. Tell us where we are.
Okay, well, you're in the middle of the biggest sprawl around us, but right here in the quiet corner, which is part of the last green valley, we also say it's where you live. There's 35 towns. They encompass some north central Massachusetts all the way down through Norwich, Connecticut to the Rhode Island border and over towards Coventry. And what we try to do, we're a National Heritage Corridor. We're part of the National Park Service. And our organization is the management entity that wants to help with, you know, recreation-based quality of life, water quality monitoring, trail systems, tourism, agriculture. We try to encompass quite a large range of areas, but we're here to support the local communities, work together, partner with conservation groups and tourism groups and small businesses, the manufacturing sector. So we try to just be a voice for the area.
Well, talk about that, because it seems difficult priding yourself on being a place that is indeed quiet and rural and wooded, but then also want to have a thriving business climate as well.
Exactly. Well, there is, it's because of the quality of life, I believe, a lot of the businesses that have moved here have found that we are, even though we're like on an island, and the first time I came here 23 years ago, like Jerry, I don't know if I'm really considered a resident yet of Connecticut, but I feel like I'm home amongst all of you. But when I first came here, I felt really like far away from everything. But yet, you know, Providence is close by, Hartford's close by, Boston, New York. So we're in the middle of a lot. But we offer here so many great cultural activities and our scenic roads. And it's a beautiful place to live. And I think a lot of the manufacturing sector likes to be here because of that quality of life. Your employees are healthier, you feel good, you're safe, and you're in a community that everybody knows. I know everybody just about in this room.
Now, I talked in our introduction about how close we are to Rhode Island, how close we are to Massachusetts as well. We are indeed in a corner. What does that have to do with our economy, the fact that people are going back and forth across these borders very easily? Tell us how that affects things.
Oh, it's great. And at any given night, I mean, just for Putnam, Connecticut as an example, any given night now on the weekends, we're seeing folks coming in from Boston and Worcester and Providence for a different change of pace. I mean, the Providence water fire now has tens of thousands of people that are attending that. It's very crowded, and it started off as a very, you know, cerebral event. Now our Putnam River fire is just quaint and quiet and beautiful, and people are experiencing that. And I've just found that, you know, the folks in this area have really, they work together, and they're community-based.
I didn't know you did water fire in Putnam?
Yes, Putnam. Oh, yes, it's great. It's just like the mini Providence, but it's, and they have alfresco music and food and event vendors. It's a fun event.
I grew up in Pittsburgh, and water fire meant something different. It's just like...
oh, I know. Is that like
a fire we couldn't put out.
Yeah.
Well, Michelle, we'll come back to you in just a moment. I want to welcome in Jerry Cohen. And, you know, one of the things that we were talking about when we were putting together this panel is I knew that Putnam had grown up as this antiques mecca. And it had done so kind of organically. And I want you to tell the story a little bit about how Putnam became a place where people go antiquing, not just, you know, from the next town over, but from all over the region.
Wow. Well, 23 years ago, I sold my building. I moved here from Oakland, California. And we sold the building for $100 a square foot, which to me seemed like that's what buildings, commercial buildings, sold for. And I was looking to reinvest the money and had been in the antiques business for a long time at that point. And the big corner building downtown was up for sale. And we looked at it, and it was like, $10 a square foot. I was like, wow, they're giving this place away. And, you know, I had the money coming in from California, and I got all my papers together and went to the bank, and we did the closing, and it was just great. And the vice president of the bank came up to me after we signed the papers, and he goes, thank you so much for buying that building, but tell me, what are you going to do in a ghost town like Putnam? And for the next year, as we rehabbed the building, we had a steady flow of local people who came in and said, have you lost your mind? Or
well,
you nuts?
It can't instill confidence when the bank says, thank you so much for taking that off our hands. That
was,
can't be a great feeling coming from California, right?
You know, fortunately, I had come from, you know, the mecca land of California where you believe you create your own reality and you can just make things happen by having the intention to have them happen. And that, you know, that's where I was. I was like, okay, I wasn't going to be bothered by the naysayers. And fortunately, when we opened 22 years ago, it was really the peak of the whole interest in the antiques business, and there weren't really any good antique centers around. Most of the antique centers were in deserted warehouses and barns that people didn't know what to do with, and we were actually the first antique center that opened in a downtown old department building. We built quality, air-conditioned, heated. It was just, we tried to make it the nicest location possible. And for about 5 years, people came in and were measuring the showcases and said, I'm going to do this in my town. And we were copied a lot, which was a great form of flattery and whatnot. And little by little, you know, more and more antique businesses moved into Putnam, until in about 13 or 14 years ago, we had 17 antique stores in town.
But so what led to that? Because you took this risk and you took this chance, but now there's this critical mass built around you. What do you think it took to get to that point where others were investing in a space that you'd essentially helped to create?
It kind of took me spending a lot of money on advertising, on rehabbing a building, and creating a destination. Once the town became a destination, and it was a town with a lot of old businesses that were failing, as is typical in many old mill towns, antique dealers went, wow, you know, antique dealers love to congregate, because the more we can congregate, it kind of exponentially increases the number of people who come to shop. Mm-hmm. So it fed on itself, and the more dealers who came in, the more wanted to come in, and the people who were there and having unsuccessful businesses were thrilled to be able to turn their buildings and their businesses over to somebody who actually wanted to be there.
Michelle, this is such an interesting idea, because in the world of tourism and trying to generate economic development through bringing people into, say, a town center, there are a lot of plans. Governmental agencies get together and say, mm-hmm. if we could only do this, yes. then we would have people coming to our town. Yeah. But what Jerry's talking about is something very, very different. It's really sort of an organic growth. And I guess I'm wondering if you can talk a bit about how this region has capitalized on some of that, because sure. I don't think that there are a lot of big plans on the drawing board,
no.
right?
No, there never was. And I was, with my former life, I was one of the ones who copied Jerry and moved in next door into another building in town that... And we found it was all grassroots. It was all, you know, just like, again, putting your sweat equity in. But as it developed, we worked together again, and we came together, and we would find ways to promote and market. We created the Putnam Business Group for the Antiques Group, and we would pool our money, and we would pay for billboards and ads, and we would really attack, like, the markets around us and try to get folks to come in and have, you know, try to get the TV stations to come in, the radio. And that's how we did it. We just did it with our own money, and we did have some, you know, there was some support out there, you know, from the state entities, and then as that transitioned, then I became part of the Quiet Corner Tourism Bureau. So I used the experiences that I had in my own business to continue that, and our board of directors would come, and, you know, Gene Barton's here, and Barry Jezrin on our board. A lot of the folks in this room were my board members who then came together, and we found ways to take what little money we had and pool it and work it and grow it and bring people in. So there's 11 million people within a two-hour radius of us. And our statistics show that our visitor is very loyal. They come back at least five times a year, and they're spending millions of dollars a year. And so it is. It's working. Whatever we're doing together, we're not – I know there's, you know, competition out there, but we really aren't competing that way, because there's not enough of us to go around. There's so many people out there that there's enough for everybody to have a slice. You know.
We're broadcasting today from the Vanilla Bean Cafe in Pomfret. It's one of our Small Business After Hours events, and we're talking about small business in the Quiet Corner. It's our first trip on where we live to the northeast corner of the state, at least this far up in the northeast corner. We've been to Willimantic and stores, but it's really fun to get out here to Pomfret and be part of this community. I want to actually welcome to the microphone, if we can, Barry Jezrin, who is the owner of the Vanilla Bean Cafe. And first of all, Barry, thank you so much for having us here. I really appreciate it. How's business going for you?
Business out here in the Quiet Corner has been great. We opened up 24 years ago, and like anybody who opens a business out here, they think you're crazy. You know, what are you doing that for? But we, you know, we saw a market, and we went after it, and we're still here 24 years later. We've opened up two other places, one in stores and one in Putnam, and they're both growing.
So who comes here? Who decides that they're going to spend some time at the Vanilla Bean Cafe?
Everybody.
Everybody does.
You know, well, from one writer's point of view, he called it from nuns to Huns. Because literally, I mean, you'll be in here someday, you see, you know, kids on their first date to, you know, people in their 80s and 90s celebrating their anniversaries to motorcycles from all over Southern New England. It's really a great diverse group of people that come out here.
So tell us what you do. I know you have live music, you got food. Tell us a bit more about the place.
Well, we've been doing breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. We do live entertainment on Saturday nights. We're pretty much on what is known as the folk circuit. Coffee house circuit. People from all over the country, as well as Canada and different parts of Europe, will come and play here. We've had people from Scotland, people from Africa, people from Canada. Mostly, though, the artists are probably coming from the New England and New York area.
For the people who are listening across the state and don't know very much about this area, and also about what it takes to be a small business person in this area, just tell them a little something about what it took to do this, to take this leap, and to overcome, as we were talking about with Jerry a moment ago, these voices from people that say, oh, you're crazy to do that.
Well, the first thing is, I think anybody who does this, they usually take a cut in pay, you know, and you figure out how to get by. And then you just work at it. I mean, when we opened this, we knew there was a market here. You know, I lived here. I moved here in 76 with my family, and we saw that there was, you know, no middle-of-the-road kind of eating place. Lots of pizza joints, a couple of up-end, upscale places. And we just knew the market was there. So we just went after it, and sure enough, I mean, they came in droves. The way I had this business planned is not how it grew. You know, we grew the way the customers wanted it to grow. I had in mind more of a tavern, you know, open at night and like that. But they were in it for lunch. You know, they said, hey, this is great. And then we expanded into dinner, and music just happened here. We started doing open mics and then some benefits, and then people said, hey, can we come back and play? And we're like, okay. And then we just went after the music thing. And that's it just sort of happened, and we followed it. I mean, the main thing is a lot of people open a business, and they have this idea, and they stick with it, thinking eventually the customer will figure it out. But really what you've got to do is listen to what the customer says they want and design it for them.
That sounds like a pretty good sounds like a pretty good mantra to me. Barry Jesseron is the owner of the Vanilla Bean Cafe. He's our host today on Where We Live. As we head to our very first break, I want to welcome in Donna Bissett. She's lived here for around 14 years. She's director of performing arts at the Rectory School. She performs with a few groups called 916 and Voices. She's going to play us out into our break, and we'll come back in just a few moments to talk more with small business people here on Where We Live. Live from the Vanilla Bean Cafe in Pomfret, Connecticut, this is Where We Live. We're in a former barn today, built back in the 1800s, revived as a successful restaurant at the intersections of Routes 44, 97, and 169. Donna Bissett is playing some piano for us today. And we've got a room full of small business people and small business boosters. It's one of our small business after-hours events. We've got a great panel of people. I want to welcome in Mary Jane Burke, who's owner of BGR Radiator in Plainfield. Mary Jane, thanks so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we were talking about restaurateurs, and we were talking about antiques dealers. We talked about tourism, but you're in the manufacturing business out here. So tell us about your business.
Well, we started in 1976 as a small radiator shop, like many of them all over the country, which has since kind of disappeared thanks to OSHA and just a lot of people who just decided they didn't really want to do this any longer. And what we have done and decided that we had to do, kind of like these guys over here to my left, is we had to kind of keep ahead of technology. We had to keep ahead of the pace of business and continued to change things as we saw the business world. When my late husband started the business, he was fixing a car radiator, and anybody who knows anything about mechanics or is any sort of a motorhead knows that that's absolutely crazy right about now, but that's what we did back in 76. Now you go to an AutoZone or a Napa and you buy it in a box for $89. So we moved ahead with technology and we got into larger radiators, and you now buy those in a box, and now we've gotten to the point where we have an engineer and we design our own line of radiators, and we're actually manufacturing them in Plainfield. And these are large radiators. And these are large radiators for standalone power generators.
I mean, how large are we talking?
We've built some that are 10 feet by 10 feet square, and they sit about 10 feet off of the ground. And oh, I've got eight of those in a copper mine in South Africa.
You just sent a team to Sicily, from what I understand?
I have three guys who are just finishing up in a naval establishment in Sicily.
Really?
Yeah, just finished today.
My goodness. So this is a business that has a global marketplace. I guess the question is, why are you building these things here? What is attractive about this place? What works about it for you?
Well, it's kind of an interesting question. I just ended up there. The business was just there. I lost my husband 12 years ago in an industrial accident. Mm. So I kind of went from the upstairs to the downstairs of the business. And for a while, it was a very good place for me to be because it gave me the flexibility to raise a couple of kids and figure out what I was going to do. Then it just worked. Everybody just supported me. And we had all of these employees who were there, and they were just ready to come to work every day and just do a great job. And we said, why not? Let's go for it.
A lot of manufacturers have said over the years that this part of the world, I'm not talking about the quiet corner here, but the northeast of America, it's just too expensive to do the type of manufacturing you're doing. And they leave, or they send jobs elsewhere. The manufacturing is not done around here. And that's something we hear over and over again.
We have disadvantages working here in Connecticut and in the Northeast. And a big one for me in my specific industry is the cost of raw materials. And that's a huge, huge problem for me, because these radiators are, the radiator frames that we're building are made out of heavy steel and cast iron. And to try to buy that domestically, much less in the Northeast, has turned out to be a huge challenge. And so we're buying as little as we can from out-of-country distributors, but it doesn't always work. There's a bit of a trust factor with that, so it is kind of a challenge, and we're still working at that. But there's a lot of other things that do make this very attractive for us. We've built a building in 2007 in Plainfield, and the town of Plainfield was wonderful to work with. They helped us in any way that we can, and so many other little small, or I'm not even going to say little businesses, just support that we have from the chamber, from QVCC with their technology and their manufacturing centers, and other small businesses who just want to help. It makes it worthwhile. It really does.
I want to welcome in David Conrad. David's here from the Northeastern Connecticut Chamber of Commerce. Hi, David. Welcome to our show.
Good evening. Welcome.
So talking to Mary Jane about manufacturing here, what do you think? Do you think that the state's doing enough to make business work out here in the Quiet Corner?
No.
Well, thank you, David Conrad.
I'll be very blunt in this thing. I feel that the local municipalities, the local agencies, do a great job in helping the local businesses, be it manufacturing, service industries, the antique field. I feel that the local municipalities do whatever they can. I strongly feel that the state leaves a lot outside of assistance for the local areas, especially the small manufacturers. Like Mary Jane, I did a lot of research. My background is economics. And I've been able to coordinate a lot of information regarding from Barron's, from retirement magazines, from CBIA just did a study where 80% of the small manufacturers felt it was very negative to do business in the state of Connecticut, and only 11% of those surveyed said it was a positive move. I think we are lost in Hartford. I don't feel our local legislatives do enough job to support us in Hartford. I think a lot of that effort could be come back home to us, and I applaud these three individuals up there for their positive outlook. For every three up there, I can show you six that have been affected by the state's inability to assist small businesses.
So there's a lot of ways in which...
I'll be running on the Republican ticket next week.
When we do these conversations, there's a lot of ways in which that manifests itself. Some people say that it has to do with the state taxing too much. Some people say it has to do with the amount of regulation the state places on small businesses. But I think overwhelmingly what we hear is a sense of uncertainty, that no matter what the rules are going to be, we don't know from year to year what those rules are. And for entrepreneurs, for people who run small businesses, that's the biggest impediment. Is that one of the things you hear, David, that just not knowing what's coming down the pike is one of the things that keeps people, like the folks up here, from actually jumping in and making an investment themselves?
Exactly. I'm president of a small bank locally, and I see it every day. I have conversations with my loan officers. We review a lot of small manufacturing statements, and we just see that issue is they don't know what to do. They suspend investment in their capital projects. They suspend going forward with adding staff, employees, just because they don't know what's around the corner. They get mixed signals from Hartford. In one minute, you're very business friendly, but it seems to be the large businesses. I make my business on the backs of the small businessmen. We love small businesses. We are a community-based bank. Unlike the supporters that you have here, but we feel very strongly that Hartford misses the boat.
Thank you very much, David. Pass the microphone across to Roberta Dwyer, who's here from...
Looks like Citizens is your new sponsor.
Yeah. We have some sales reps in the back, actually. Maybe you can get a card on the way out. Roberta Dwyer is Executive Director of the Northeast Connecticut Economic Alliance. Thank you, Roberta, for coming by.
Thank you very much for being here.
Are you more or less hopeful about what Hartford and the state is doing for business in our region than David is?
I see the Northeast Corner as taking care of its own. Actually, DECD was out here today. They put on a very good program regarding Step Up and all the programs that they're offering. And it was a very optimistic meeting. They are doing several visits to various towns within the state. And as I say, it seems very optimistic. I have worked very closely with Department of Labor, with EWIB, the Eastern Connecticut Workforce Board, and working to get people jobs. I have to say, the Northeast Connecticut Economic Alliance is a 501c3. We do micro-lending to small businesses. And we do lending to businesses that even the state quite often won't touch. Mm. We bring people in who may have a business plan on a napkin, and we work them through until they can get their business started. What we've seen happen, we've given a $15,000 loan to a small business who then worked on that loan, worked on their business, we coached them, we tried to be there for them, and then went to the state, and they were able to get a larger loan, and we kissed them goodbye, and were thrilled to death that they were able to move on. I look at people like Mary Jane, who are, she said that everybody supported me. I made a note of that, because that's one strong lady there. She supported herself, and we all stood around and cheered her on. Mm. The state... Sometimes I feel like the Northeast Corner is forgotten. We joked about it a couple of years ago that the Northeast Corner could go to Rhode Island or go to Massachusetts and never be missed. But we do love our corner of this state. And small business continues to grow in the Northeast Corner, and the entrepreneurs are out here, and we'll all continue to support them.
How is the lending environment, do you think? I mean, do you think that that there's an ability for small businesses to actually get the money they need to invest in their business?
Sooner or later. I look at community banks, and I'm pointing at David Conrad because I've actually worked with his lenders on a couple of loans. I couldn't do them by myself. It was more than I could handle. But working with the local banks, then we were able to build, and yes, it's out there. Mm-hmm. I found some of the larger banks are still extremely picky. I have one client who he's an amazing man. He took a business, grew it from nothing, mm-hmm. and yet a credit report that went down just a couple of points, and we're going to end up doing it ourselves because the banks are just going, no, we can't touch it. Mm-hmm. Regulations have gotten a lot stricter for the banks, and we recognize that. So,
Roberta, thank you very much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, John. This is just such a hoot. We're so happy you're here.
Usually people don't call conversations about small business a hoot, but I like that. I do like that. Hand the microphone across to Ed Dombroskis, who's here from Mystic Country. Ed, welcome to the show. It's good to see you.
Thank you, John.
What's Mystic Country? Is it anything like the Last Green Valley? Is it one of these mythical places that we fairies live?
Well, the Mystic Country is actually the 42 towns of all of eastern Connecticut. And when Connecticut faced the economic downturn and the consolidations that occurred when the Quiet Corner was representing themselves as a tourism destination, they became consolidated with the Southeast and the Northeast. And it was left to us to figure out how we were going to merge those two distinct identities into one identity and still keep the vibrance of both as a destination.
Well, and how have you done that? That's really interesting because we, you know, from I cover politics an awful lot, and we cover the 2nd Congressional District, which is like half the state. It's mm-hmm. essentially all of the eastern part of the state. And some of the towns that Joe Courtney represents have nothing to do with one another at all. You can't get from one to the other. So how do you tie these together in a region as a place that people are going to look for business or tourism or anything?
Well, what we the transition or the combination wasn't an easy one in its initial stages. Over the past couple of years, it has become easier by convening separate advisory groups that meet monthly to tell us what it is that they're interested in. We now think of the Northeast corner as New England the way it ought to be. And represented from all of the folks that spoke here, it's the definition of a Yankee, that the highly independent. They've created a network of arts and culture, history, food, retail, you know, the Route 169 as the National Scenic Highway, one of the first designated. All of that together has created an attraction that many people come from very far distances to come and enjoy and see. And the local folks, from the farmers who have been on the same property for literally hundreds of years, creating corn mazes and creating entrepreneurial and philanthropic organizations like Buttonwood Farms that has their sunflower sales, and all for charity. Those kinds of attractions bring people here. They bring their money here. They stay in the hotels and the inns and B&Bs, eat in the restaurants, and provide that economic fabric to
well,
the area.
Well, I want to bring back in Jerry Cohen, who's the owner of Antiques Marketplace in Putnam, to talk a bit, you know, as I broadcast to an entire state here. We do talk a lot about what goes on in Hartford and how the state talks about, treats, acts with different parts of our state. How do you think the state has been in helping to support the work that you do? For instance, they came out with this new tourism slogan, "We're still revolutionary." I guess I'm wondering, do you feel like Connecticut has gotten behind some of the work that you've been doing on the ground in Putnam?
I have to answer the question, having had the governor in my store 2 weeks ago, and having the governor and his wife come out from time to time on Sunday afternoons and shop in my store. So the fact that Governor Malloy has made the effort to come up into Putnam to patronize mm-hmm. the town, to come up and promote tourism here, is fantastic. Beyond that, I would say Hartford might as well be in Missouri or North Dakota.
That's an applause line out here. I feel Jerry like I'm in a frontier town in the Old West. Is it really like that? Do people really feel like Hartford is that disconnected in a lot of ways, not just geographically, but disconnected from this region?
I guess so. I mean, I don't have any interaction with Hartford. There's just never been any kind of support or, I don't know, it's a faraway place that we don't interact with, and it's great to have the governor come in here once in a while now.
We think of it like that, like Oz, a faraway place. Mary Jane, how about you?
My support has all been local. They may be some Connecticut state organizations, but it's all been from local people that I've been working with for years and years and years. And I can't thank them all enough. They've been wonderful, and I don't know if I'd call it Oz, but it's just it does seem a million miles away, and we don't see them, and I don't think they even know where we are.
Michelle, I'll give you the last word on this. What do you think?
Well, I work for the federal government, so no, I'm just kidding. I'm not directly impacted by the state, but no, actually, what it is difficult. I know when I was one of the antique owners, and the state did come out. I mean, tourism did come out. They would come out and film, and you know, they are out there and they are trying to do good things for us. But we do feel a disconnect, and we do feel that we're not always heard, and that maybe sometimes, you know, that we're being cookie cutter or mixed into something that maybe we're not. And we're very independent. And like you said, the Yankee mentality, we're very stubborn and we want to retain our identity. And that's been the biggest bone of contention. I can speak. I know Ed very well. I was the director of the Quiet Corner Tourism Bureau, and we went through that transition. And it's been a long process to get to where we are, but they are. They're making the effort constantly to hear us. But I always want to say that we still always take a step back because we want to retain who we are. We don't want to be merged in with anybody, nobody. We want to keep our quiet corner in the Last Green Valley. How's that?
We're broadcasting today from the Vanilla Bean Cafe in Pomfret in the quiet corner of our state. We're talking about what's driving the economy here. When we come back from our break, we're going to get some questions and some comments from the people who are joining us here at the Vanilla Bean, many of whom are small business people and small business boosters themselves. As we head to our break, let's hear some more music from Donna Bassett, who's playing piano for us tonight. Live from the Vanilla Bean Cafe in Pomfret, this is Where We Live. We're here as part of our Small Business After Hours events, and we're talking with folks at the Vanilla Bean Cafe about business in the quiet corner, a part of the state that, as we've heard so far, some people forget about in Hartford, but that's okay by them. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on out here, from antique stores to lots of great restaurants to some manufacturing as well. We're going to get to some folks who are joining us in our audience. And hi, what's your name?
Hi. Before I introduce myself, I would first like to thank you for your show and the sponsors and producers of small business projects. I feel that collectively, the small businesses are the heartbeat of this state.
Thank you.
And we need to do collectively to keep the track moving forward so that we continually be heard and are successful in our own individual businesses.
So what's your business?
So my name is Lynn Anstead, and I have a photography business, small, just starting. I hail from the northwest corner. And I'm very intrigued by the eastern corner.
Who else has got a question or a thought? Hi there, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Betty Hale, and I serve on the Connecticut Commission on Culture and Tourism on the advisory board. And folks, if you want to be at the table, volunteer to be on a board for the state. I moved here in 1971. My husband started a textile business here in 1954. And, of course, the textile business is all gone. My late husband and I felt that we should have a pool here for the children of northeastern Connecticut. So we spearheaded the building of the regional community YMCA. And stay tuned, because it's coming. But I also... But I think you should talk with this lady to my left and hear what's happening in this northeast Connecticut corner.
What we've quickly learned is no one says no to Betty. But my name is Monique Willannon, and I am the representative of the local community college, QVCC, Quinebaug Valley Community College. And as I look at our panelists who are doing a great job tonight, the book ends, the rose between two thorns, or depending upon how you appear. both Michelle and Mary Jane are very closely affiliated with the college, John. And as we discuss tonight's panel and what's coming forth, is nobody's really mentioned, well, Mary Jane has, but the role of education in the quiet corner of Connecticut. And QVCC is number one in that role, I believe. And everything from training the workforce, partnering with various organizations in this area, providing incredible internships for our students at manufacturing companies throughout northeastern Connecticut, Tonight's focus is small business, but let me remind us that we also have right here in northeastern Connecticut every manufacturing company from Whitcraft, which, you know, is a multi-million dollar organization based in Eastford, to Spiral, another international organization right in Danielson, to places like BGR and our good friend and QVCC Foundation, Mary Jane Burke, and you can go on and on. The point that I'm trying to make here is education is really important to Northeast Connecticut, and as we talk about the needs of our businesses, so too is a trained workforce, and QVCC is proud to partner with many of these, and I would also say thank you to some of our legislators for recognizing the need for our manufacturing partners and awarding the college this manufacturing center, which is thriving in its second year.
Well, first of all, thank you very much, and I'll say every single conversation... Every single conversation I've had about manufacturing in the state comes back to community colleges, the community college system. And so kudos to you and the work that you do. Thank you very much for joining us. Maybe you can pass the microphone to Jay, because there's more people who I think want to join our conversation here at the Vanilla Bean Cafe in Pomfret, here on where we live. Hi there. What's your name?
My name's Andy Morrison. I'm a born and raised product of the quiet corner, but... I think the nickname the Quiet Corner's got to go.
You did.
You know, and
you, just so everyone knows, Andy did air quotes around the Quiet Corner, which shows a certain amount of disdain for the term, I would think. So tell us, well, why does it have to go?
I mean, if you know, right down the road, if you were to go to Putnam tonight and stand on Main Street, there's still the Antiques Marketplace, which is great, but there's a lot of eateries. There's a nightclub now. Go stand on Main Street. It is far from quiet. I want quiet when I want to hear crickets at night because I'm going to sleep. The rest of the day, I don't really want it. When you do want it, you can find it around here, but that's not all it's about. And when people come and, you know, I don't mean this as a knock on you, but you said you drove through the wilderness to get here. That is the perception of this area.
Hey, when you come from Hartford, that's what it feels like to a lot of people, because there aren't any roads that get you here.
But from a branding perspective,
yes,
I think that's the perception that the area's up against and has to try to change over the next couple of years, because there is a lot of momentum. It's turned into a pretty cool place. I have family that's from this area who's moved out. And when they come back to visit now and we take them out, same thing with some friends that have moved, they all say, I can't believe this is Putnam, or I can't believe this is Killingly, because things have changed here and they need to keep the momentum going. So I haven't quite thought of it, maybe not so Quiet Corner. I haven't come up with the catchphrase yet, but I think Quiet Corner's got to go. And my final point, if you're talking about business in northeastern Connecticut, one thing that hasn't come up tonight that I think should be mentioned: everybody here who's involved in a business, I guarantee you, is involved in at least two civic organizations that they volunteer for. And is that true? Is everybody? So in my experience, as one of the gentlemen just referenced, the Yankee spirit of do-it-yourself, it's very much alive with the business community. They do it themselves, and they do it off the clock, and they do it for free. And a lot of the volunteer organizations are putting on events that are bringing people into the Quiet Corner, or not so quiet corner. And it's those events organized by volunteers and executed by volunteers that are getting people here and showing them that the perception of the area isn't quite accurate. And a lot of those people are coming back. So I would say the volunteerism in northeastern Connecticut definitely needs to be mentioned and commended.
Well, I'll tell you what we should do is I think you should get together and you should come up with a new slogan, and we'll have you back on the show, because I want to talk that through, because I think that's important, how you brand yourself, how you talk about your place. When we talk about the way people feel about Hartford or the town I live in, Winsted, how people talk about you inside and outside the community, it means a lot, and I think you're onto something there. So I appreciate you saying that, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. And if I can just say, I think we'll – do better than still revolutionary, which I think is an oxymoron. I'm pretty sure.
Well, we're still working on it. We have time for a couple more questions, and we've got a few people we definitely want to get to. Hi there, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Amy Labossiere. I'm managing partner of Stillwaters Retreat Center in Voluntown, Connecticut, and I have two comments. One is my husband Dow and I have dual citizenship in Hartford and Voluntown. So,
well, you need a passport.
Well, we're both artists. We have an art studio in Hartford. And one of the great things about having a retreat center in Voluntown is we get a lot of our clients and customers are from Hartford. And they come out here to do business. They want to spend money here. They want to be here because they know it's beautiful and the people are great. And so I'm really grateful for that. And the second piece of it is that I feel like I'm in a room full of colleagues and mentors. So I'm in the second year of my business, and I would be grateful for any advice that anyone has to a small business owner, whether it's hang on to your bootstraps and keep going, or run for the hills, or whatever it might be. And welcome, thank you, that's great too. But whatever advice people have, I think that we have a lot to teach each other and share, because it's kind of a crazy, bumpy road to be a small business owner, and it's great and exciting, but it's also a little scary too.
Thank you very much. And maybe as we get to a few more voices here, we might have some thoughts for you. Hi there. What's your name?
Hi. My name is Barry Schreier, and I own Sweet Emotions Candy and Store Center. We bill ourselves actually as being the loudest candy store in the quiet corner. And the point that I would like to make is that we are a part of Store Center, which actually shares a block with the new Dog Lane Cafe, which Barry owns. We truly are a spirit of entrepreneurship. We in stores are building something out of what has been nothing. We have the University of Connecticut, and the motto in stores has always been, come for UConn and stay for... And now our motto is, come for UConn and stay for Store Center. And so I want to make the point of just encouraging everyone to really stick in there and keep going for it, because we in stores had nothing, and we really are making a new downtown where none has existed before, and we're very proud of that. And we are creating destination where there has been no destination before in the quiet corner.
Thank you very much. I think we've got time for just one more voice here, and I know a lot of you would like to join the conversation, but we're running low on time. So I want to end with Jean Barden, who's here. And Jean, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. It's delightful to have everybody here.
Tell us about your business. Yeah.
It's celebrations, gallery, shops, and tea events. We've been in the Quiet Corner for 14 years. I was on the tourism board. I've gone and seen a lot of transitions. We used to be a bed and breakfast. And what I want to really do is just acknowledge the amazing transformation that's happening with the area, and how the arts and the creativity is just, you know, exploding and coming out of the woodwork, because that hasn't been mentioned that much tonight. It's, you know, you can see right here, you know, surrounded by all this amazing artwork. And so many of our artists are local, and Putnam has, you know, galleries that are just, you know, opening up. So it's a delight to be surrounded by all the creativity, and the arts is just exploding too.
Thank you very much for joining us. And I want to thank everyone for coming here tonight. I especially want to thank our panelists, Mary Jane Burke, Michelle Bourgeois, and Jerry Cohen. A nice round of applause for these three people who are making it happen here. Thanks, as always, to our Small Business Project founding partner, Webster Bank. Thanks also to Access Health Connecticut for additional support for this event. Special thanks to Barry Jesseron and the Vanilla Bean Cafe right here in Pomfret for hosting us today. Thank you so much, Barry, for being such a great host. Our program is produced by Tucker Ives and Heather Brandon, with help from Jay Holt, Harriet Jones, and our senior producer is Katie Talarski. Thanks also to our crew from Connecticut Public Broadcasting Network, Nancy Bauer, Jane Marino, and Katie Ginther. We're going to leave you now with some music from Donna Bassett, who's director of performing arts at the Rectory School. She provided live piano music for us tonight. A nice round of applause for Donna Bassett. She'll play us out with some music here on Where We Live.